Hello, this is Janice, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading from the Thursday, November 13th issue of the River Rack Times on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Land Trust looks to reclaim, preserve Buffalo's access to water. And there is a photo of 1660 Niagara Street, which looks like there is some plantings by the road, and beyond that, a railroad track and just empty fields. By Amber Healy. Buffalo's industrial past means there are acres upon acres of land categorized as brown fields. Properties that cannot be easily reused due to pollution and other hazardous wastes left behind from chemicals and other toxins. For Tracy Fletcher and her team at the Buffalo Niagara River Land Trust, Buffalo's brown fields aren't things to be avoided, but prized properties that can help reconnect the Queen City's residents with its waterfront. We want them, said Fletcher, the organization's executive director, Thursday evening during the first event of Conservation Conversation speaker series. Most people stumble into a brown field and go, ugh, we're actually looking for them. These are former industrial or commercial sites where future use is affected by real or perceived environmental contamination. With our industrial history, obviously we've got a lot of these, she added, noting that there are an estimated 450,000 brownfields, which can range from gas stations to chemical manufacturing facilities and anything in between. Across the United States, established in 2012, the Buffalo Niagara River Land Trust is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to acquire, remediate, and steward lands along Western New York's waterfronts, prioritizing public access, Fletcher said. Our name can be a little misleading. It's not Buffalo, it's not the Niagara River, it's literally any waterfront, any tributary, any creek, river, stream, canal. The borders of the Land Trust's scope of work include Lake Ontario, the Pennsylvania border, and the Niagara River. The eastern border is a little trickier to pinpoint, as there's another land trust in Genesee County. But how far to the east Buffalo's work goes is something that's currently being discussed by the organization's 18-member board. Wherever the eastern edge may be, brownfields are the priority. We want to find them. We want to get in there and we want to remediate them, Fletcher said. The Buffalo Niagara River Land Trust has three main strategic goals: land acquisition, remediation, and management. There are currently five properties under the management of the trust, representing more than 62 acres of waterfront property. A lot of people ask the question when we show up to the table, what are you going to do with this land? What are you going to build here? Nothing, she said. Maybe a kayak launch. Maybe a picnic table. That's about it. Land trusts operate as public-serving charitable institutions focused on long-term stewardship of land resources. We're not letting it go because if a property upon which the land trust has a conservation casement is sold, the land trust retains possession of its easement, and it will continue to remain untouched. Greener pastures ahead. There are five main properties that the Buffalo Niagara River Land Trust currently has ownership and rights to, including 1660 Niagara Street, Cayuga Creek Restoration Area in the town of Niagara, Houghton Conservation Area, City Ship Canal, and Concrete Central. Technically, the City Ship Canal is not fully under the control of the Land Trust yet, but will be as soon as the government opens, Fletcher noted. And there's a deal that's nearly finished for Concrete Central as well, but both are simply a matter of time. The Niagara Street property is currently behind a safety fence. It's the first piece of property the Land Trust secured and is the reason the trust exists. Fletcher said it's a partnership with Buffalo Niagara Waterkeeper, which was first on the site to help with cleanup and remediation of Skajakwita Creek. The remediation project cost around $800,000 because so much work had to be done on the soil under the property, which used to be a gas station, among other things. The site is now clean, but additional testing from the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation is needed to confirm that the water on the property is safe and can be used for recreational purposes. The Land Trust is eager to take the fence down. We have a board and committees that are excited for what's next. The fence is there to keep people from fishing. They're finding their way through the fence somehow anyway and still fishing, but the Land Trust is protected from any liability because of the fencing, she said. We're anxious to bring the fence down. We eventually want to put in a kayak launch and benches. It's not very big. It's 0.4 acres. But we really want to do something cool with it, especially with Niagara Street bike path. It's way busier there than it used to be. The Cayuga Creek Restoration Area in the town of Niagara is a different kind of property where there were flooding issues among local homeowners that were mitigated when Waterkeeper moved the creek. After they did that, they put in walking trails all the way around it, complete with interactive signs and new plants that are more native to the area. The town of Niagara still owns the property, but the Land Trust has a conservation easement to protect it for the future. The problem is no one knows it's there. It's off Porter Avenue, but it doesn't have any sort of trailhead, doesn't have a parking lot. So you're pulling over on the edge of the busy Porter Avenue, Fletcher said. The goal and hope is to create and maintain trails in addition to building a very small parking lot and on an adjacent parcel of property that will also serve as the start of a trailhead. A completed project. The Houghton Conservation Area on the Buffalo River next to Houghton Park on Clinton Street is trickier, because there are several groups who all have a stake in the property. We don't have anything to do with the park, but the conservation area behind it, we hold an easement on with the City of Buffalo, Fletcher said. The property is also under the umbrella of the National Resource Damages Settlement, a federal government effort to hold Honeywell, CSX, and other industrial polluters responsible for their environmental misdeeds along the Niagara River. The first phase of that restoration project has been completed, including the installation of some boulders that will prevent off-road vehicles from accessing the conservation area. Next up will be some new trails that will lead to the water. The city ship canal and Concrete Central remain in a holding pattern for now, but Fletcher is confident both projects will move forward in the next year. The future is bright for the Buffalo Niagara River Land Trust, with more brownfields to secure and more projects to reshape, Fletcher said. She recounted a recent visit from a Federal Environmental Protection Agency representative who was surprised to learn that the Gallica Pier location was once a brownfield. "Welcome to Buffalo," Fletcher said. "This is what we do. Give it to the right people and they'll fix it." More information on the Conservation Conversation speaker series is available at www.bnrlandtrust.org/events. The next session is Wednesday, December 3rd. At the Black Rock Harbor Center and will feature Ken Parker, aka the Native Plant Guy. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the River Rock Times on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Ribbon cut at first new home on Calumet Avenue for infill housing program. And there is a photo. It's the ribbon cutting at 18 Calumet Avenue. Tour of homes set for Saturday. And there is a picture of pulling cars and some other dignitaries on a porch cutting a ribbon by the stairway. Buffalo Mayor Christopher P. Scanlon, Erie County Executive Mark C. Poloncarz, the Buffalo Erie Niagara Land Improvement Corporation, or BENLIC, Council Member Joseph Golombek, and partners from Empire State Development and Belmont Housing Resources for Western New York celebrated October 30th the completion of the first homes under the city and county's joint infill housing program, marking a major step forward in neighborhood revitalization and affordable home ownership across Buffalo. Standing at 18 Calumet Avenue in the Black Rock neighborhood, local leaders officially cut the ribbon on several newly completed income-qualified single-family homes, part of a historic $24.5 million investment made possible through American Rescue Plan Act funding from the City of Buffalo and Erie County. Erie County was also previously awarded a $1 million grant through Empire State Development's County Infrastructure Grant Program to cover the crucial, often expensive cost of utility hookups. "This is what real neighborhood investment looks like," said Mayor Christopher P. Scanlon. "Just 6 months ago, we broke ground on this initiative to transform vacant lots into opportunities for families. And today we're seeing those results firsthand. I want to thank County Executive Mark Polenkars, Ben Leck, and all of our dedicated project partners for helping bring this vision to life and turning blighted properties into community assets. Each home represents stability, opportunity, and a pathway to generational wealth for working families in our city. It's exciting to see 2 years of hard work come to fruition with this first group of new single-family homes coming online in the city of Buffalo, said Erie County Executive Mark C. Polenkars. Erie County's $13.5 million investment, paired with investments from our partners at the City of Buffalo and Empire State Development, will strengthen neighborhoods, families, and our overall community. I look forward to new homeowners moving into these 47 homes here in Buffalo, and very shortly into 5 additional county-funded homes in Cheektowaga. Empire State Development President, CEO, and Commissioner Hope Knight said, "This is exactly what Governor Hochul's County Infrastructure Grant Program was designed to do. Put roofs over people's heads and deliver stability where it's needed most." Our $1 million grant directly funds utility hookups for infill development, which will bring 47 housing units online for working families in Buffalo. Empire State Development is proud to be a hands-on partner as we tackle New York's housing crisis together. Open houses are set. An open house for the first set of homes, 7 in Black Rock and 5 in Cheektowaga, will be on Saturday, November 15th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. to tour all available homes. Homes will be sold through a lottery. Approximate sales price are 2-bedroom homes, $198,000, or 3-bedroom homes, $252,000. The Black Rock homes are at 111 Austin, 18 Calumet, 362 East, 92 Gorton, 57 Hoffman, 153 Thompson, and 248 Laird. For more information on lottery guidelines, visit www.belmonthousing.org/arpa-app-1b/. When it's cancer, you deserve more than a number on a spreadsheet. By Dr. Candace Johnson, President and CEO, Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. For decades, Medicare Advantage plans have helped millions of Americans manage the costs of health care. But today we're watching many of these plans struggle under the weight of their own design, and patients, particularly those facing cancer, are caught in the middle. Across the country, insurers are reporting record losses on their Medicare Advantage products. Costs are rising faster than payments. More people are being diagnosed with complex chronic conditions, and regulatory changes from the federal government have made it harder for plans to get reimbursed. Cancer care is at the heart of this financial strain. Advances in immunotherapy, cellular therapy, and precision medicine have transformed cancer treatment, extending lives, improving outcomes, and in many cases, offering cures that weren't possible a decade ago. But these breakthroughs come with higher upfront costs, even as they reduce hospitalizations and emergency visits in the long run. For an insurance company managing thousands of members, it's a balancing act. For a patient newly diagnosed with cancer, it's a lifeline. Unfortunately, when insurers face mounting losses, they often make difficult choices, narrowing their networks, raising copays, or exiting certain regions altogether. Those decisions might stabilize their balance sheet, but they can limit patients' choices, removing access to the kind of comprehensive cancer care that can make the difference between remission and relapse. At Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, our mission has never changed. We're here to ensure that every person in Western New York has access to world-class cancer care, no matter what insurance card they carry. We continue to work with many Medicare Advantage plans to provide that access. See roswellpark.org/Medicare for a list of health insurance plans that Roswell Park is in network with. If you are already a Medicare beneficiary, or you are nearing age 65, this is an important moment to understand your options. The annual enrollment period, which ends on December 7, allows you to review your plan and ensure that your preferred doctors and hospitals are included in your network. Coverage that can be especially important for those in the middle of a cancer journey. When it's cancer, you deserve the best care possible. Care delivered by experts who are using the most advanced therapies available anywhere in the world. At Roswell Park, that's what we do every day. Don't let an insurance decision stand between you and your care. Because when it's cancer, you need the right care at the right time. Candace S. Johnson, PhD, is President, CEO, and M&T Bank President. She'll chair in leadership at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Based in Buffalo, Roswell Park provides care at its main campus in Buffalo, at the Roswell Park Scott Bieler Amherst Center, and statewide through the Roswell Park Care Network. Perspectives. Extra, extra, don't read all about it. The Buffalo Bills outcoached again, and there is a photo of a stagecoach with horses and cowboys, and the wagon behind it says News on it, by John Duke. In case you are one of the few people who still gets your news from the Buffalo News, you found out yesterday, Wednesday, November 12th, that the Buffalo Bills were outcoached once again. A few days earlier, on Sunday, November 9th, 2025, you might be thinking, wow, I wonder if we could bring back the Pony Express from 1860. They would bring us real news regardless of the weather. The Buffalo News, which is now printed by the Cleveland Press, will only deliver if the weather outside is nice enough. They have more snow days than grammar school students and only deliver left-wing news stories from the New York Times and the Washington Post, two of the world's most left-wing news organizations since the collapse of the Soviet Union when it controlled Pravda. Pravda still exists today, but it was sold to a Greek family in 1992 and switches hands more frequently than a football during a Bills game. And just like the Pravda of old, the Bills front office went into propaganda mode to protect its leadership. It was anybody's guess who the head office would try to blame this time, the offense or the defense. But this time it didn't matter what they tried. For the first time in sports, reporters were questioning the coaching, as were the sports reporters from other cities. Keep in mind, the other cities were reading about the Buffalo news the next day on Monday. It was only the Bills fans in Buffalo that didn't read anything about the Bills until Wednesday. The problem for Buffalo is that by all accounts, Coach Sean McDermott is a very nice guy and very intelligent. He could work for NASA or Elon Musk. He could probably help put a man on Mars easier than in the Miami Dolphins end zone. It's all a question of chemistry, and the Buffalo Bills and Sean McDermott don't have it. It's the wrong mixture. Could McDermott take another team to the Super Bowl? It's possible, but not the Bills. You can always have winning seasons, but you can't always win Super Bowls. Time is ticking away. Josh Allen will be in his 30s next season and already letting Tom Brady's record slip away. It's a rough decision, but you should give Josh a chance. You have to remember these kids, and they are kids, have to put in an 8-hour shift every year if they want to make bushels of money. They're on the field for 16 hours each year. 1 half-hour a week for the offense and 1 half-hour a week for the defense, with millions of dollars for their half-hour. The best advice anyone could give for collecting millions of dollars a week for a half-hour's work comes from Josh Allen each week when he yells, "Manja, manja, manja." It's time for the Bills fans to have breakfast after fasting for 60 years.
Welcome to another broadcast day of the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, a private, not-for-profit organization. Radio Reading volunteers broadcast daily readings of newspapers, magazines, and books to area blind and print handicapped persons who are provided reading radios throughout Western New York and Southern Ontario's Niagara Peninsula. Our broadcast studios are located at 1199 Harlem Road in Cheektowaga, and that's between William and Clinton Streets. Our mailing address is the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, 1199 Harlem Road, Buffalo, New York, 14227. Our phone number here is area code 716-821-5555. We broadcast on live and over the air. You can find more information on all of this, along with how to contact us in the ways I mentioned, at our website, nfradioreading.org. If you have a smartphone, you can also download our app, which you might be listening to this on now. Please feel free to contact us with your comments, suggestions, or any questions you may have. Our phone, and please stay with us. Our Rain the Buffalo News is coming up in just a moment.